and welcoming all of you to this week's Core Volunteer Training. It's a weekly webinar program for newer CCL members or CCL volunteers throughout the country that just want to brush up on a specific skill to help you feel more effective in your climate advocacy, both at large as well as in your local community. Tonight's focus is on lobby training. We're going to have a chance to jump right in and even have a mock practice at the end. But to help me do that, I have the wonderful Director of Congressional Liaisons and Lobby Days here at CCL. Amy Bennett started working at a nonprofit work and animal care facility back in many years ago at North San Diego County, where she developed a lot of the volunteer programs there. Still has a soft spot in her heart for animal care. And as Director of Lobby Days and Liaisons at CCL, Amy trains volunteers and oversees appointment settings for Capitol Hill and our annual lobby days, and knowing great strides can be made once you sit down with members of Congress and their staff, and the intensely rewarding experiences of that. Amy looks forward tonight to helping guide volunteers literally and figuratively through the halls of Congress, and reminds her of what is possible when we are face to face with our elected officials. So thanks so much for joining us tonight, Amy. The learning goals tonight are threefold, so hopefully tonight after you attend, you'll be able to feel a little bit more confident in understanding the planning process behind our meeting preparations with members of Congress and their staff. For our international guests, hopefully this also can directly apply to your meetings with parliamentary members or whatever your state legislative body is. And we also hope that you can feel that with this technique tonight, you can demonstrate what a respect-based relational meeting sounds and looks like, as well as approach and understand why we take this approach. And then lastly, we really hope that you can prepare for your own meeting and feel more confident knowing where to go for those tools, support, and resources throughout that meeting. So we'll be putting links in the actual chat for a lot of this and reviewing where to find that in CCL community. But without further ado, here is tonight's agenda. We're going to do a quick brush up on the importance of relationships. Amy's going to review a lot about meeting roles. We'll have a chance to do a role play meeting and review key takeaways. And then at this point, do a Q&A with Amy following our role play that we're going to demonstrate. And then we'll break up in partner groups. And you'll have a chance to do this in your own breakout room with another attendee for tonight's webinar.
So we're going to do a little review. Really what our goal is here is building a relationship to move your member forward towards supporting carbon fee and dividend. And how we do that is with the CCL methodology of using respect and appreciation to always appeal to the best in others. And CCL is an organization that's for something. So again, we're not going in to be against somebody else, but we're going in to actually share with our members what we're for and what we have in common. And that's finding common ground is such an important part of what we do. We search for shared values, for a social connection, and we also search for common ground in places that we care for. And with your member of Congress, that is oftentimes someplace local that both you and your member can relate to. It's wonderful if it's on your home turf. In the climate advocate training, we highlighted the story of Representative Mia Love of Utah, her transformation in joining Citizens Climate Lobby's caucus. And that was as a demonstration of the power of our one rule to treat everyone, even those who disagree with us, with respect and appreciation. Jumping ahead, to begin with, the central role for each of our meetings with members of Congress is the leader. And the lobby, that's the lobby team member who empowers everyone in the group to share and participate, especially the constituents, so that we can build this capacity for our work. The leader might also facilitate transitions in the agenda, keep things on course, etc. If the leader is not the liaison, and a liaison being the main point of contact for the member, if the leader is not the liaison, the leader is generally responsible for briefing the liaison after the meeting, and the leader assigns roles before the meeting. So we find that an analogy might be useful here, that the lead is somewhat like a conductor. So the leader is there to manage the meeting, but not to dominate the meeting. The leader's not necessarily the one who talks the most, but the leader empowers everyone to share and participate. Again, especially the constituents, because the member of Congress or their staff is going to pay most attention to the constituents. They're the ones who can choose to vote for them. The leader might also be choose to be in charge of handling the transitions between different parts of the meetings, you wanting to keep things timely and moving along in the right direction. They keep the conversation kind of on track and also try to help wrap things up. The leader also helps the team settle on kind of a supporting, on an appropriate supporting ask for the meeting, and to make sure that everyone is on the same page with what the main ask of the meeting is going to be. We always ask for supporting or introducing carbon fee and dividend, but sometimes a supporting ask is something, if the member's not quite ready for that, something doable. So depending on the size of the lobby team, an individual may fill multiple roles. Everyone's encouraged to participate in the discussion, but give deference to the constituents whenever possible. So some of those roles include an appreciator, and that is the lobby team member who shows appreciation for something the member of Congress has recently accomplished. And if possible, that'd be great if it was the constituent thanking them for something local they've done. There's also a timekeeper, and that's the lobby team member who asks how much time they have for the meeting and then signals, hey, we only have 10 minutes left, or we only have 5 minutes left. Then there's the note taker, and that's the lobby team member who takes notes, or what we refer to as minutes. If possible, the note taker should be an experienced volunteer. It's this person should be able to follow the thread of the conversation and capturing specifically what's said by the member of Congress or the staffers. Not so much what we say, but more what they say. We want to really learn from them. And they also type up those meeting notes in our online form and submit them, because it's always good for that district to have a running record of what's happened in the meetings with the member of Congress. Then there's the asker, and that's the lobby team member who presents CCL's purpose and ask. If possible, that should also be a constituent who has a strong grasp of the policy carbon fee and dividend and its wider implications and how it affects the district. And the asker would leave the one-page primary ask behind. Then there's the deliverer, the team member who's responsible for bringing the constituent letters or postcards or any endorsements that you bring from the community. And then a person who's in charge of follow-up to send materials that were requested or to send a thank you note. And that person, if that person's doing the follow-ups, not the liaison, that person should coordinate the follow-up items with the liaison so everybody knows what's been completed and done. A couple of other things we don't have up here might include a photographer. It's really great to have a team picture taken if you can get permission from the member, which is they're usually fine with that. Another person might be just an observer, a team member designated to put aside any agenda for themselves for outcomes and just listen for the underlying needs. If they hear something that's missing or sounds like a place where we need to get more understanding, they might ask about that, you know, ask some deeper questions about that. Ask, could you tell me more, Congressmember so-and-so, about this or that? And clarifying that really can help. You don't want to assume something when it's unclear. And now on to the meeting. The meeting outline is pretty simple. There's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that's how we're going to break up some of what Brett and I do here, a beginning, middle, and end. So at the beginning of the meeting, you want to thank them for their time, finding out how much time they have, introduce yourselves briefly, show the appreciation, and state our purpose, and deliver constituent communications, and briefly present our ask. Then the middle is the heart of the meeting, and that includes the discussion, the real active listening, hearing their concerns, listening for their values, finding common ground, restating what they said so that you're sure that you've heard it correctly, overcoming obstacles, and you know, executing whatever your agenda strategy was to move them forward, because you may have a specific plan to move them forward. And then at the end of the meeting, you want to see if they're willing to commit to our ask, or present your supporting ask, and make sure to include asking who they work with across the aisle. That's an important question to ask, so we are clear who they might, what we can get more information from the district and make it easier for them to support carbon fee and dividend. And then you finally confirm any follow-up items for the office. Now, after the meeting, you want to review your notes and make sure they're correct, assign someone to update the minutes online, and confirm the follow-up and the thank you note. And that's really important to do before you all disperse. So not obviously in the office, but somewhere separate from the office where you can just review everything, make sure you're organized with the follow-up items and who's submitting things. So what we're going to do now is we're going to demonstrate an actual meeting. I'm going to narrate the demonstration, and then we'll stop at certain points to debrief just what's happened. I'll play the meeting leader, who also happens to be a constituent for, let's call him Congressman Doyle. And Brett's going to play the role of Congressman Doyle. And so what we'll do is we'll go through the beginning, the middle, and the end of the initial meeting. And we're going to pretend Congressman Doyle is from Kansas' first district. Our agenda is going to be broad because it's our first meeting. The goal there is that we want to establish trust, respect, show appreciation for each other. And this first meeting is, we want to keep in mind that this is the beginning of a long-term relationship, not a one-time event. So, of course, we'll want to advise them on our policy and tell them what we're doing to create political will for them. But we need to be prepared to do a lot of listening so we know how to move forward in our meetings after this one. So here goes with the beginning part of the meeting, and then we'll break after the beginning and debrief. Well, first of all, Congressman Doyle, we want to acknowledge how busy you are and how appreciative we are that you were able to carve out some time for us today.
Well, it's great to see you both, you know, so engaged in the political process as well as coming across the country to visit with me. I'm glad to see you as well.
Thank you, Congressman. We know it's a busy day for you. So how much time do you have for the meeting today?
Well, I do have a committee meeting in about 20, so that means I can give you 15. I think they would have given me an office somewhere close to where the committee meets, but I'm stuck over here in Rayburn while the committee's in the Longworth building. I guess that's how government works.
You do a lot of walking in D.C. Well, my name is Amy Bennett, and I'm a constituent of yours living in Lawrence, Kansas, and I'm a school teacher. And I'm here today because I'm worried about the kind of world the kids I teach will grow up in. So I want to do my part to make it as safe as possible for them.
Well, thanks for sharing. It's a pleasure to meet you, Amy. And as you know, I served for 16 years in the Kansas legislature, fighting for school children and for seniors. And I believe the government should do just that. Exercise its powers to look after our most vulnerable citizens. I actually really admire you for devoting your life to educating our children, and I know it must be especially difficult right now for you and this federal government trying to impose its will on our local school districts.
Well, thank you for the kind words, Congressman. We'd like to start by telling you how much we admire your work to protect seniors from the identity theft scams. I have an older parent, and your work means that I have one less thing to worry about as she ages.
Well, thanks for recognizing that. And again, know that it's really important for me that all Kansans know that they work hard and that if they do that, they'll be able to retire comfortably and safely.
That's fantastic. Well, we just have a few minutes, Congressman, so let me briefly tell you why we're here and we'd like to hear your thoughts on our policy. Our purpose is to create the political will for a livable world. And back home in Lawrence, we're working to create political space we know that you need to support our policy. Over the past couple of months, we've gathered letters and postcards from your constituents and endorsements from community leaders in Lawrence. Here's a stack of 120 letters from your constituents and endorsements of our policy, the carbon fee and dividend. And that's from the Lawrence Regional Medical Center. Our ask is for you to introduce legislation that puts a fee on fossil fuels and returns the net revenue to American households. Although seeing how this is our first meeting, how about we start with hearing your thoughts on climate and energy policy? Okay, so let's pause here and debrief the beginning part of the meeting. So we started by thanking him for the meeting. We asked how much time we had. We introduced ourselves, showed appreciation, and delivered our purpose, our letters, our postcards, endorsements, and then presented our ask. Notice how quickly that went. Every meeting is different, so you just kind of have to adapt as you go. For example, if this is your 10th meeting, so that might mean a formal introduction might not be necessary. Or maybe the member says they only have 10 minutes, so you have to cut some of that part out. The demonstrating is suggesting how the conversation gets you to kind of read the room, and being, you know, you're just going to need to be adaptive. So being adaptive is the ability just to perceive and understand what's happening in the moment and being able to react to challenges as they happen. So being adaptive means you're not only listening to the words said, but also the tone of voice and their body language. So we need to remain a little bit flexible and practice a good listening. Now, one thing we didn't do was take the bait and go off topic. Congressman Doyle had some strong thoughts on the federal government's role in local education. So you want to stay on topic since we only have 15 minutes. We can talk more about this in another lobbying session called Lobbying 401. Also note that the ask is really direct and clear and specific. Our primary ask will always be the same. So it's not worth it to test the waters here. The worst possible outcome is if you leave and they have no idea why you were there. And believe me, that can happen. So don't let it happen and get that primary ask in early. Note how concisely we checked in with the office about carbon fee and dividend. Even if it's your 10th meeting with the office, refresh them with two sentences on the policy details to avoid any confusion. And I can attest to this, that sometimes you go in there and they think you're talking about cap and trade. You want to just give them those two sentences to make sure they know what you're talking about.
Absolutely, yeah. And just before moving back then to the middle section here, a reminder for everyone on the webinar, feel free to share anything else that you noticed or would like to share in the chat window. We'll be taking questions at the Q&A section. It's going to be after the middle and end section of this mock lobby meeting, so just feel free to type your observations in that chat window. And let's go back to resuming the meeting. We'll now be in the middle section. And we're going to resume picking up where I left off to Amy's my response to Amy's question. So and this is just really quick, Amy. Shelley asks this, and I can just repeat it here. I won't get quite into my character yet. But she wants us to ask or repeat the ask. And our ask really is this: to introduce legislation that puts a fee on fossil fuels and returns the net revenue to American households. And so it's pretty straightforward. I actually put that in the chat window as well. And Amy also did a wonderful job of highlighting wanting to hear more about my thoughts on climate and energy policy. And so that's specifically where we're going to go from here. And it really opens up the ability for a member of Congress to share their reaction and dive into more of why they may be interested or opposed to fee and dividend at the moment. So here we go. Well, I can't say that I hear much about the need to do something about the climate or global warming, and I think I know what the general mood is in Kansas. We have a strong wind sector, but the wind industry needs to begin competing on its own without the need for subsidies or tax credits, and that's why I supported the gradual elimination of the production tax credit for wind a couple of years ago. So when it comes to energy policy, I guess you could probably peg me in the all of the above category. Regardless of climate change or this so-called warming, we need American energy independence first. We need to stop propping up one energy industry at the expense of the other. I want you to understand, don't get me wrong, I don't mean that I'm anti-environmental. I've often actually been portrayed as being anti-environment. But I prioritize getting our economy going, and these regulations are choking small businesses. The people of Kansas sent me here with a clear message. Continue to make sure the federal government's overreach does not happen.
So what I'm hearing you say is that both the economy and the environment are important to you, not one over the other. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, sure. You hear a lot of negative things that are said about me because I'm putting jobs first. This environmental agenda isn't good for business.
Well, I can certainly appreciate being unfairly labeled. I mean, we're often portrayed as being anti-business, but nothing could be further than the truth. We, like you, want the economy and the environment to flourish. Have you been briefed on our carbon fee and dividend proposal?
Well, I know my aide is actually reviewed in detail, Amy, but since we're here, why don't you tell me a little bit about it?
Great. What we're proposing is this, and then I go on to explain carbon fee and dividend a little more detailed, and then I ask, how does this sound in comparison to the regulations sought by the previous administration?
Well, let me be clear, Amy. Regulations killed jobs in Kansas. And for what? We impose additional costs on Americans, and I don't see how these rules stop global warming. But I do understand one thing. Increasing costs isn't good for business or consumers.
When I first became concerned about the climate, I struggled with that as well. Could I tell you what I found out about the dividend and aspect of our proposal, and that which put me at ease? Would you like me to explain that to you?
Sure. Put me at ease, too.
Well, knowing your economic background, I think you'll appreciate what we've learned. What's really interesting about our policy is that by returning the net proceeds to household, the dividend will have a stimulative effect on job creation and the economy. Job creation occurs because when people get a dividend check each month, they spend it. And you know as well as anyone that about 70% of the American economy is tied to consumer spending, and healthcare is a huge slice of that. So employers like Lawrence Regional and Children's Hospital stand to benefit from people having more money in their pocket to spend. Okay, so let's pause the meeting again and let's recap that middle part. So notice what we didn't do here. We didn't correct him or take him to task for the position on climate or other statements. It's obvious that we see things differently, but why start with something that will put us into a situation where one of us has to be right and the other has to be wrong? Instead, it makes more sense to listen and ask questions so that we can find some common ground and build a relationship from there. Notice how many questions were asked. What we're trying to do here is draw out more information so we can discover where we have common ground, but and also discover misconceptions. Notice how we ask for permission to proceed. Would you like to take a look at that right now? Would you like to hear what we found? So I'm trying to find the common ground to work with Congressman Doyle. It's very clear he doesn't hold the same belief we do regarding global warming. We can tell by his so-called warming statement that he's already revealed to us a little bit about how he feels. I've also moved on to finding, so we've move on and just try to find common ground. It's also evident from his responses to my explanation of carbon fee and dividend and my question that the congressman is fixated on costs, not the dividend. But rather than explicitly draw his attention to his misconceptions, I explained how the dividend would benefit local hospitals. So again, I didn't put him into a situation where he's a loser for not listening or understanding, but rather restating his statements to enable him to open up to listen further. And keep in mind, this may not be a meeting where we try to change his mind at all. Rather, we just focus on developing his trust by showing him our listening skills. Each meeting's very unique, and after your first meeting with the office, you'll often have a specific agenda or points you want to cover from the previous meetings. So don't be afraid to say, you know what, this is an important issue you raise, and I'd like to gather more information for you. Can we talk about what a transition to clean energy economy would look like with carbon fee and dividend at our next meeting? It's actually just a great reason to set up a second meeting. So let's demonstrate how to wrap up a meeting. The meeting can draw to an end in a couple of ways. Either the timekeeper notices that we have 5 minutes left at the end of our allotted time, or we begin picking up visual clues like body language, like they're closing their notebook or glancing at watches, something like that. So you're just aware of that body language. When either of those things happen, then it's time to close up. So don't try to squeeze more into the discussion. There's going to be another meeting. Part of our follow-up will include whether they would be open to a meeting again. We could ask, what are your concerns about carbon fee and dividend impacts on small businesses and regulations? We have several studies that we'd like to share that you might find valuable. Would you be interested, again asking permission, would you be interested in how fee and dividend affects your district by income quintile? This way we can start to show that we can be a resource to the office. We can bring great data at a future date.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Amy. And I'll just remind everyone's doing a wonderful job. Field questions right now in the chat window. We've got a couple coming in that we'll get to after this final section. And feel free to also share anything that you noticed or would like to share about what Amy's reviewed in that middle section of the meeting. Tonight's really all about debriefing and breaking down each of these processes. And we'll get going here on the final third of kind of the wrap-up. I'll pass it back to you, Amy.
All right. Congressman, I see that we're nearing the end of our time with you. So I wanted to ask you if you'd be willing to introduce a bill that puts a fee on carbon and returns the net proceeds to American households.
Well, again, thank you for asking. And I think it's a novel approach you have, but I do have some reservations. And besides yourself, this is not a topic that's important to my constituents.
I understand. This is our first meeting after all, and we promise to go home and continue working on the grassroots support so that when we meet again, we'll have more letters and more endorsements for you. Would you be willing to sit down with your staff and review our policy proposal and get back to us with exactly what is preventing you from introducing our policy?
Yeah, I will do that. It seems like I got the easier task. If you are going to speak with folks back home, and I should acknowledge, I know that you brought the medical center's endorsement today, and that is carrying weight, then may I recommend you speak with Mayor Rawlings. Being a former utility CEO, he's someone I listen to regarding energy issues.
Absolutely. Thank you for that recommendation. And like we said earlier, we're trying to make it easier for you to support our policy. So we'll make an appointment to see the mayor. I'm going to leave this one page ask with you. And now, how would you like me to follow up with additional materials in the future?
You can follow up with Joanna on that.
Congressman, one last thing before we leave. Would you mind telling us with whom you enjoy working on the other side of the aisle?
Well, as you know, I'm new here still, and there's a lot of ill feelings around here. So I haven't had the opportunity to bond with many Democrats.
Oh, that must be frustrating. But is there one that you've gotten to know?
Well, I would say Senator McCaskill and I sat next to each other on the plane the other day, and she's not as bad as she seems on TV.
Okay, so that's the end of our demonstration for the initial meeting. Let's switch gears and discuss one final considerations and then have some time for questions. So for many of you on the line, this might be your first meeting. As a result, you might feel somewhat nervous or just worried about this. It's really important to acknowledge that, but also just move through it because you have just as much right to be there as any one of the constituents in the district and your voice matters. So in order to alleviate those feelings, keep in mind another important meeting element is in play. We're in the relationship building business. So that's one of our strengths. So never underestimate the power of injecting some personality and fun into a staffer or a member meeting. Say you might find out that the staffer grew up on a ranch. So go ahead and ask if he knows how to wrangle cattle. And if your MOC, your member of Congress, that's our lingo. If your member of Congress went to a rival school, then bring it up in a jovial way. Another thing you could do is ask them about the pictures in their office. Those are usually things they're very proud of. And if this is your first meeting with a staffer, then ask them to introduce themselves at the beginning of the meeting. Ask them a little bit about themselves. These personal, more playful moments will help you build a stronger relationship and make the meeting more fun for everyone and just kind of get you relaxed. We're going to put you in breakout rooms to practice a meeting, and one of the things that makes us so successful is that we do try this out. Get the wiggles out, as they say. Try it on for size. So it by practicing ahead of time, it'll help you. It'll help you feel calm. It also builds our reputation. People know that we do practice. It demonstrates respect for your member that you've practiced ahead of time. It allows you to really be more present. It'll develop trust with your team, and it impresses people. So take this few minutes in the breakout room and see if you can try on this meeting for size and kind of get through it and see how it feels.
Excellent. Yeah, so at this point, we have 10 minutes left really or so to break out into our partners as usual. And on Amy's note, we've actually given you a chance to practice live time again. All of these lessons for Core Volunteer Training Sequence provide this framework of social science research, having you set a specific or measurable short-term goal, building that support system with partners, and then being able to celebrate our practice and accomplishments together. So tonight's pretty straightforward. We're going to have a chance to jump into that action plan. And you can just simply go if you want. I'm going to put this in the chat window as well, but it's just cclusa.org and then /CVT, that's short for Core Volunteer Training Plan, and that'll give you the outline of our initial lobby meeting. And feel free to drop off. We know some people might have to leave. We hope that you found it valuable tonight. But if you'd like to practice with somebody else tonight, feel free to follow along here. And essentially, your breakout activity is just the same that we role modeled, what Amy and I had. Essentially, you and your member are meeting. One of you is going to get a chance to play the meeting in the meeting with a member of Congress. The other is going to have a chance to play the constituent. If you have time, you can easily switch. But essentially, we recommend you just take a few minutes ahead of jumping in, frame out your key points, walk through even what that meeting might look like. If you just want to do that instead with your partner, that's fine too, to help them know who they'll be representing or what you might do strategically in that actual meeting preparations. And then just as a final note to help you review, and again, feel free to start looking at that core volunteer training plan. Here's a couple fine suggestions. You know, if you can remember six things, you want to introduce yourself, you want to listen throughout the actual meeting to build that common ground, you want to make that primary ask, you want to ask more questions to draw out information, and then you want to advance into addressing their concerns and really draw out kind of whatever their limitations are and have a dialogue about that. And then at the end of the meeting, follow up with some additional actions and follow-up asks. So at this point, again, just feel free to jump in. I know that it might feel a little bit of a stretch, but for tonight, we really look forward to having you jump in with your partner group, and I'll be around so you can raise your hand if you're having any technical difficulties or questions in your partner group. Here's where you can go after the lesson tonight to find out about Core Volunteer Training's archives if you haven't already, and here's again where to find information for contacting Amy and I. So thank you again for being on the line. We're going to close and let you stay in your partner groups as long as you want, and then feel free to sign out on tonight's webinar. But we hope that you found tonight's lesson valuable. And at this point, all you have to do is just click on the Join Your Meeting Room, and you should be set to go. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.